glad you guys are back with us. And of course, we always like to have you guys check us out on Facebook and thevalleyoutdoors.com, the interactive map. And make sure you sign up for the Fish With Us event. And again, we're going to have four lucky people. They're going to come up to Ashkenam Resort with us. We're going to do a four-day fishing trip. Free. Everybody wants something for free. All you have to do is get there. Everything else is covered. And we are going to have a blast. We had one last year. We're going to have another one this year. Looking forward to it. Sign up on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Hit the Fish With Us tab. And you'll be signing up. You can sign up how many times, Ava?
Once a day.
Just like a vitamin on the one-a-day program.
And prenatal, since we were already talking about
there you go. Exactly right. And speaking of one a day, but of course they got more than one a day as far as the drops of rain up in northern Minnesota. Talking with Chris Granrud. Chris, I got to tell you, if there was ever an award for perseverance, I think you'd top the list. Talk about crazy. What in the world is going on?
Well, you know, it's a record. I mean,
records are made to be broken, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a pretty competitive guy. So I think that we broke the record now. So now we can actually have it retract a little bit. I'm okay with that.
You're good. You set the record. The record's been set. No need to make another one and continuing to make them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. We got to stop having these 100-year floods every 8 years, though.
So that's always the, where do they come up with their math? Is it new math? It's got to be.
Exactly. I should, full disclaimer here, I've got my wife in the front of the boat who never gets to fish because I'm always guiding. And so I'm running the boat and I'm talking to you guys. So if you hear some splashing in the background, either she jumped in or we've got one.
Or you pushed her in when she had a big fish on.
Precisely.
I've seen it. You know, either you do that or you knock the fish off with the hoop of the net. That's the other one. If you have any bets going on, you make sure that you have that completely clear up front. First, biggest, and most. And then, but you make sure if she catches a big one, you don't institute that until you get the fish. That's the important secret.
It's a secret. Exactly. She's got the net sitting by her, so I'm not sure if she's trusting me with the net right now.
You might want to sneak up and hide it.
Yeah.
So, Chris, I saw and follow you, obviously, on the Facebook side of the fence, and the water started rising, as the old saying goes, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, in this case, that the rainy don't rise, but you guys obviously do a great job of winter ice fishing as well. You had all your ice houses on the edge of the lake, and you had some changes you had to make.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I will say that, you know, we're pretty lucky. You know, our home is up on top of a hill there, and but our lake access there, you know, we've got trailers, and obviously I've got my boat down there, and we got fish houses and stuff down there that had to be moved out of there. So to get everybody or give your listeners kind of an idea, we're talking about 227,000 acres of water raising, you know, like 7 feet or 7.5 feet or what have you. And you got to remember it's sprawling too. So it's not like it's just coming up. I mean, it's taking fields over and parking lots and all. So it's raising like that beyond the sprawl.
No. And of course the docks that they build up in those areas are cribs with rock placed in them to hold them in place. And you get to a certain level, what happens?
Yeah, it gets real tough. So typically those crib docks that you're mentioning there, they'll throw barrels of water on top of them to kind of weigh them down. But now a lot of the barrels themselves are underwater. So, it's a tough deal. I will say that we're about at crest. So from, you know, what we've been hearing anyways is they're saying that, you know, middle of the month here it should crest and maybe we're going to go another 1 to 2 inches total. But yeah, it's historic. Before this, our worst flood ever was 1950, and we beat it.
And not by a little bit either, I suspect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just crazy. There's just crazy amounts of water out here.
Well, and so when that happens, you know, obviously the lake changes dramatically as far as spots, as far as where you can and can't go. You know, you need to rely basically on your GPS maps and stay where the old lake was, because you can't tell what is not or is in play as far as being able to contact the inadvertent bottom contact aspect of driving a boat.
Boy, that's real true. And obviously you're a fisherman, so you know, I mean, it's fishing real different, you know, I mean, and we don't have anything to measure it against. I mean, I've never fished the lake, you know, 7.5 feet high, so I mean, I don't have any history there, but I will tell you, I've caught some of my first walleyes under pine trees, never did that before, so that's a little different. When you walk out to our mailboxes, because our road is underwater, we've got minnows up at our mailbox, so I think a lot of those walleyes are kind of out in the slough grass somewhere. I mean, it's real fertile out there. I mean, a lot of, you know, leeches and worms and bugs and minnows. And
I don't doubt it for a second. So what did you see that's changed? What has changed? You have to produce day after day. You don't have a choice. You're in the guide service business. What's changed? What's happened to the bite?
Well, you know what? They're in just really different places, honestly, really different places. And the problem is that, you know, I mean, you've, you know, been able to uncover spots through a lot of blue collar work over the years, right? So just covering tons of dead water and finally, you know, cherry pick a few good spots out of there and then build them in your memory bank. But we've had to kind of relearn a lot of that stuff because we're just 227,000 acres of water, you know, swelled out to 400,000 acres of water. And they're acting real different. But I will say that, you know, your electronics are real, real key. So as I'm talking to you, I'm sitting here and I'm running my wife down a shoreline here and I'm side imaging. And frankly, I it's nice to be able to get her out, but I'm doing homework. I mean, I'm looking for fish, you know. I mean, obviously I want her to catch one, but at the same time, I'm, you know, at the same time trying to find, you know, where fish are locating and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of extra work.
Well, and a big advantage you have with the site imaging is you can scroll over. You don't have to drive over that spot. You can scroll over, hit the waypoint, and mark that. If it's a rock pile that suddenly is there, that's great. The other thing you realize, too, when the water, what goes up must come down. And when the water comes down, those fish are going to be vacating a lot of areas, so it's going to be trying to find some of those ambush points where they're coming out of that big deep, or the big not deep water, but the big vast backwater weedy areas that they may be inhabiting right now. So you've got transition. Yep. You got transitions all over the place going on pretty quick.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it keeps us on our toes, but I've had worse jobs, so I mean, that's our job is to find the fish, and you know, I mean, we usually can trick a few of them. So,
well, the fun part too. Obviously, we talked a year ago. We were battling the COVID scenario. You know all the issues that we're trying to get the launch ramps and all that kind of thing. We've turned the corner on that, which is just makes your life a lot easier. But they keep throwing curveballs at you, which is the crazy part about it. You're able to persevere. You're able to get that kind of thing going. What do you think is the biggest thing that really helped you get through this, all this stuff that you've been going through?
Well, you know, I mean, you got to have, sometimes you got to laugh at life a little bit, you know. I mean, obviously, jeepers, you know, I mean, obviously COVID and the pandemic was tough on the whole world, and it shut a lot of small businesses down, put them in a pretty big pinch there. So, you know, you don't want to break out of the COVID deal with a natural disaster, obviously, but you know, I mean, we're persevering, you know, I mean, I will tell you this, even if fishing has been different, you know, just because the fish are in different locations or what have you, you know, our customer base has been real solid. You know, a lot of guys still coming up to fish, and I think everybody really needs that time in the boat. And, you know, I mean, here we are, I'm looking at one, I don't have a boat within 5 miles of me. It's like almost dead calm, sun's up, I mean,
it doesn't
it's
get
pretty
any
hard
better.
To beat this. I mean, this is as close to heaven as you'll get on water here.
That's awesome. So, Chris, last but not least, before we go, you also work with JT Custom Tackle. You are the man for that, correct?
Yep. So JT Custom Rods there, and real high end rods. In fact, I'm watching one being worked right now. Wish you'd catch some. It'd be a lot cooler if she caught something while we're on here, you know.
You know, she's failing in my mind right now.
Right. I think she's feeling the pressure.
Disappointed. I'm really disappointed, Kelly. I'm really disappointed.
Eric's disappointed.
Well, thank you so much again. I appreciate you coming on, Chris. I know you've got the fish going on. You've got Rainy Days Guide Service. You guys are there. You're going to be on our link on our website, as always. Check them out. They've got openings, and they are absolutely a hoot to go fishing with. And Chris, you guys have fun out there. Would you just kick her in the, you know, where to get her, catch some fish?
I certainly will. I certainly will. And you watch our page later. We'll have the big fish on. We're gonna get her on something here soon.
Awesome. Love it, Chris. You have a great one, and we will talk soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet. And we will be right back with more Valley Outdoors right after this. Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors. It's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away a trip to four individuals that includes lodging in Ashkenham Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join Don and I on this fabulous fishing trip September 17th through the 22nd. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us. Plus, a walleye seminar and contests for prizes throughout the trip. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Crimp sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio and Ashkenham Resort. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on August 20th on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Complete promotional rules available at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Kind of fun to hear about that, the northern parts of Minnesota. It was such crazy amounts of water because I know having worked up in the falls on Cab, which is part of the flowage, or the way the water flows, it goes from Cabotogama, Namekin, and then into Rainy. It's very near and dear to my heart on how they have to deal with that water level because it fluctuates. But
you know, I thought we were going to see some pretty high levels as well.
Close.
Oh yeah, it got close, but thankfully we've really been going down now. We're at a comfortable 8 feet.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, lots of Minnesota was feeling that, and
yeah, makes it tough.
It's hard.
Makes it tough, but yeah. good folks up there. And if you're ever looking for any guides, trips to go up on Rainy, those are the guys to talk about. So, early at the top of the show, I talked about the one of the pieces we're going to talk about today is the top 10 cartridges, and
but you decided.
I took it on the fly. It was the top 10 most overrated cartridges, and I decided to do an on the fly switch.
Okay,
I thought this story
keep
was,
that for next week when Don's this, back.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. I thought this was a kind of a fun story and very thought provoking. Nightmarishly thought provoking. How fast can a bear run?
Oh man.
Now keep
and you got all these different kinds of bears too. But should I say, like, on average, should I take a guess?
Take a guess. We'll get to it in the article. Go ahead. What do you got?
30 miles per hour.
Okay. We'll make that note. You got 30, right?
I got 30.
All right.
What about you? Even all you read it?
I already read it.
Dang it.
So, can't say.
All right.
Keep in mind, bears can weigh up to 1,700 pounds. You look at polar bears, grizzly bears, and they run fast.
Yes, they do.
And they can all run faster than a average human being.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Some dog breeds might be able to go faster than a bear, but your average dog won't stand a chance.
Okay.
But let's delve in, shall we?
Yeah.
Why bears can run so fast? Well, they're omnivorous, meaning that they can eat both plants and animals, depending on the breed. Diet makes up a range of 60 to 90% plant-based. In order to catch the meat they also rely on, they must be fast and smart. Bears typically target fish, rodents, hoofed animals, moose, obviously, in their normal, we all know what they're be targeting. They're particularly effective at targeting younger and injured animals, such obviously because they are slower and more vulnerable. While they may look soft and pudgy, like a teddy bear, beneath all the fur, some pretty incredible muscles. With the skin off, they look surprisingly like a human bodybuilder. Muscles are developed from a lifetime of wandering through the woods and chasing their prey. Bear's claws make them particularly effective at gaining traction on uneven terrain and climbing trees. How fast can a bear run? Grizzlies are the fastest, and they can sprint to top speeds of 40 miles
an
hour.
Oh, my goodness.
While they can't maintain this top speed for very long, their ability to sprint fast and maintain high speeds makes them exceptionally effective predators. There isn't a whole lot of research on a bear's speed. As you can expect, setting up the ideal experiment to capture the speed would be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Most references to a bear's speed come from two different encounters in Yellowstone National Park back in the 30s. Both encounters happened soon after the roads were plowed. In one situation, two park employees came across a sow and her cubs on the road. The bear saw the car and took off down the road with park employees following at a safe distance of 2 miles. They used their car speeds and speedometer to clock their speed and are traveling at a consistent 25 miles per hour for over 2 miles.
Wow.
In another encounter, Ranger Cliff Anderson and his family encountered a sow and her two cubs. Feeding in a carcass in the road, there were two other cars approaching, and Ranger and the bears, when the female grizzly charged their cars, the sow ended up chasing the cars 2 miles at a top speed of 28 miles an hour. So not only can they be fast, but they can...
They have endurance, too.
They can make it happen. Yeah, so unless you plan on running your fastest 2 miles of your life, it ain't going to happen.
No, it's not.
No. Black bears, how fast are black bears?
Smaller than grizzlies, so... Yep. Faster? 45?
They're slower than grizzlies.
Slower?
Yep, but they can reach top speeds of 30 miles an hour.
All right.
Their speed is going to vary, obviously, based on age and athleticism. For example, a bear with its winter coat and fat reserves is going to be slower than a lean bear coming out of hibernation. 30 miles an hour is significantly faster than humans or your average dog. They are also adapted at climbing, which we all know. So while they can't run as fast, they can climb 100 feet up a tree within 30 seconds.
Jeez.
Which is pretty crazy. How fast can a polar bear run? Polar bears are the third slowest. Encounters become increasingly more normal. You see more polar bears. In this case, they are going to be quite fast for a big bear, 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, and in cold conditions, too.
You can't outrun a bear. End of story.
just pray you have a vehicle.
The world record for the fastest 2 miles, 1997, took him 7 minutes and 58 seconds. So, end of story on that one. You're not going to outrun a bear. Your dog's not going to outrun a bear. So, we'll go into exactly what do you do when that happens at another show.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, guys. For Ava, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors, and we're out.